and never borrow. My hope is in the Lord. Evermore. I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, and whom the wisdom of the ages lies, from whom the raging of the sea subsides. He's a living sacrifice.
Hope, aren't you? Amen. Turn around this morning and as we sing the song, key of G again, Power in the Blood. Shake each other's hands this morning. Welcome. Good to have the visitors with us this morning from South Carolina, different places. It's 137 if you don't know it.
Well, would you be free from your
Father, I appreciate you.
Let's raise our hands this morning.
Good morning, church. This morning we're going to be reading Psalms, the 69th chapter. We'll be doing the first through the 13th verse. He caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it. Psalm 69, 1 through 13, reading 13 altogether. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, my eyes fail while I wait for my God.
They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that destroy me leave my enemies wrongfully behind. Then I swore that I would judge it no way.
O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face.
I am become a stranger unto my brother, and an alien unto my mother's children.
For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me.
When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was for my reproach.
I made sackcloth also my garment, and became a proverb to them.
They that sit on the gates speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards.
But as for me, my prayer is also thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
Thankful he's touched you many times, and I believe he can touch us this morning. Amen.
We'll shine cool by your head, bird eye. Oh, deep the load of guilt and shame. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus touched me.
We have some announcements tonight, or this morning, I'm sorry. I'm used to doing Wednesday night, so it's a nighttime since morning. But we have the Youth Bible Study for ages 10 to 14 on Thursday, July 25th, from 7:30 to 9:30. Also, the Youth Bible Study, ages 15 to 30, single, never married, on Friday, July 26th, from 7:30 to 9:30. The church has rented a gym for our youth ages 10 to 30, single, never been married, from 6 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, July 27th at the Southern Indiana Sports Center in New Albany. Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan will be having a meeting for the parents at church from 6:30 to 8:30 that Saturday as well. This will allow the parents plenty of time to drop off their children at the gym before meeting back up with them later. The address of the gym is listed on the upcoming services calendar of the church website for anyone who needs that. And we have the upcoming Labor Day meetings. Brother Jack Duff will be ministering. Includes our youth August Youth Bible Study, Thursday, August 29th. Brother Jack will be doing that as well. And both of our services on Sunday. We're also having a pitch-in meal on Saturday and a special singing service that evening. So be ready to sing, everyone. Amen. But praise the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. And we have some thank you from Brother Joshua. Good to have him back this morning. We missed him. Amen. He wants to thank the church for the prayers during the time of the passing of the loved ones and the many miles they traveled safely. I believe God's kept his hand on us and have some prayer requests. The brother-in-law of a lady that cuts Brother Nathan's hair, we prayed for him on Wednesday. She had asked Brother Nathan to put in prayer request. I believe he's passed away. Remember the family in this time of loss. And also want to remember Sister Barbara Stutzman's cousin, Melvin. He's 78 in ICU with a heart problem. And she also has some unspoken requests. And also pray for my husband, Delbert Dabney. His arm is swelling up today. Sister Colleen Dabney. And please pray for my aunt. Hospice has called in and pray the Lord's comfort for the family, Brother Judy and Sister Patty. But, excuse me, I'm not sure if I have that right, Brother, with a J on all that. But also remember my brother Jeff having neck surgery. Thank you. And any unspoken requests this morning, Brother Stephen, would you come up and pray over these? God's able to touch us. And just remember Brother Nathan this morning. Let's pray the Lord will send an outpouring and speak to us this morning. Let us be able to receive from it.
Amen, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I can't remember all the requests that our brother read, but thinking about Brother Nathan's friend there that cuts his hair and have a family situation, Lord. I just pray that you would come and meet that need. Lord, it's something when people that maybe don't know you reach out for prayer. Lord, they know in the time of trouble that there's something real because they see it in us. It's not something we put on, but it's something you do through us, Lord. Help us all to be that witness, Lord, and to be willing to pray and to reach out and help when we can, when you open the door. Lord, for these other requests, brothers and sisters that are hurting and sick, I pray you come and meet that need. And Lord, just thinking about the main thing, the big need, Lord, salvation for our children, for our friends. Lord, that song, and when you touched me, I remember when you touched me, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Help me never to forget that time when you touched me and you came in my life. And Lord, our kids have been in services and in camps and Stillwaters, BYC, all these things that have been a benefit, Lord. But I pray that you would come this morning and continue that work in our young people. And not just our young people, but our middle-aged and our old people. We all need you, Lord. We need a refilling every day. And I pray whatever is said today, whether it's a tape, whether it's a preacher, Lord, we trust that you're going to control the service and have it be your word that's going to reach down and touch us where we're living. And Lord, help us to open our hearts to receive that. We welcome you into the service, and we thank you for preparing this day for our benefit. Come, Lord Jesus, and do thy will and thy work, and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I want to live.
saved by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved. Lord, You found me, You healed me, You called me from the grave, You gave me Your real love. I'm living, I've been forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what Your mercy did for me. Every morning, mercy will restore me. What Your mercy did for me. That's what Your mercy did for me. That's what Your mercy did for me. That's what Your mercy
have these young people singing for us and playing tonight. He's good to us, isn't he? So we sing this, Sister Leah League, Sister Anna, and Sister Crystal, good, ready to come. Oh, and I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to pray. This morning we sang this the other night with Chris. We'd sing it again. I'm trying to do some harmony, but I don't do the best. So,
you can't cross the bloodline, because
blood. You may snare and you may fight, but you're going to lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Cross that bloodline. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. No matter what he does, it's already done. The debt's paid on Calvary. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. It's already done. Oh, praise his Lord. Oh, the battle is over. Victory. It's already done. Oh, it's already done.
Your name. Oh, my battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Can you sing it this way? Oh, and I'm already healed. Oh, I'm already healed. So I'll praise your name. Lord, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already sealed. Oh, and my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah, my family is sealed. So I'll praise your name. Lord, my battle is over. Oh, and victory is won. Oh, it's already whatever you're facing this morning, Jesus already paid the price. Oh, so we'll praise his name.
Satan's been lying to you, telling you you'll never make it, but why don't you remind him this morning? Oh, I shall overcome. How are we going to do it? By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I shall overcome. And I'll praise your name. Lord, my battle is over. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Good to be in church this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Thankful that Jesus Christ paid the price. We couldn't pay it, but we don't have to. He's already paid the price.
Amen.
Amen. For our redemption, our salvation, our healing. Amen. The price has already been paid. Just wanted to encourage you, and Brother Trevor had reminded me yesterday as well. If you have children in the teenage age ranges, or if you're getting ready to anytime in the next few years, I would really encourage you to try to come to that parents meeting that Brother Trevor and I are going to have while the youth are at the gym. We just want to try to encourage you in some things and share some things with you that we feel the young people face in this age and some devotional related things that you know, it's one thing for you to come and bring your kids to Sunday school. We appreciate that, but just to let the Sunday school teachers teach them 30 or 45 minutes every Sunday morning isn't enough. But as parents and as fathers and mothers, Brother Bram said the mother is supposed to be the fifth gospel and instill those things in the children, and as fathers and things as well as parents to instill those things in our children to set that example in the home as well. So we just want to encourage you along those lines, and I would encourage you, if at all possible, if you have children in those age ranges, please try to make it to that, and we'll be looking forward to a good time with the Lord. Appreciate these specials this morning, and certainly appreciated Wednesday night as well. I meant when I got up here Wednesday night to mention that. I didn't get a chance to, but Brother Norbert's children singing, Lord, You Are So Precious to Me, in French and in English, and it brought me back to, we used to have a CD from some Prague meetings where they were singing that song, and brought me back to some memories from that, and just wonderful, and all the specials Wednesday and this morning. Appreciate our special singers. Appreciate these young people trying to use their talents for the Lord. Appreciate the old folks and the middle-aged folks, too, and our visitors and our home folks, and just good to be here this morning. Amen. Psalm chapter 122, verse 1, if you turn with me this morning, and want to look at a thought that we haven't looked at before, and we may be looking at it for a few weeks at least, on the congregation, the congregation.
Amen.
Psalm 122, verse 1, David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Were you glad this morning?
Amen.
When they said unto you, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for a place that we can come and worship the Lord, not just because I'm here or you're here, but because He promised that wherever two or three were gathered together, that He'd be in our midst. So we know that when we come together to worship Him, that He's here to meet us as well. And so I was glad this morning. I was a little tired this morning, but I was glad this morning when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Brother Furman said when he went by to pick up his mom this morning, drove by IUS there, I guess down Hossfeldt Lane, and saw that there was a bunch of young people out there at 10:08 already playing baseball. And I said, well, I don't even know if we could get them to church at 10:08 or not on a Sunday morning. We're lucky to get them there at 11, but I feel like if they can go out there and play baseball that early on a Sunday morning, we ought to be able to make it out to church and worship the Lord. So praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly our hearts are glad to be able to gather together with God's people. Lord, just a small portion of it here. Lord, we realize that other congregations locally and around the world, there's other members of the Bride of Jesus Christ that are gathering to worship You. And Lord, we just want to come before You this morning with humble hearts, Lord, and worship You and praise You. We want to do our part in the service. Lord, each and every one that's gathered here this morning, they have a part to do. Lord, whether it's just to lift up their hands and worship you or to sing a song or whatever it would be, Father, Lord, we all have a part that we put into this body of Christ. And Lord, we want to do our part, Lord. If we looked around and somebody else wasn't doing their part, we would be upset, Father. But many times I wonder if we reflect on ourselves, Lord, to make sure that we're doing our part. And so, Lord, we want to check up this morning and just make sure that we're doing what you would have us to do, Lord. As we look into this thought that you've laid on my heart, Lord, I just ask that you'd give us wisdom and strength, Lord. And Lord, may you help me just to get myself out of the way to say whatever you'd have me to say or do. And Lord, just to help me, I pray, to bring it, Lord, to the people in the way that you gave it to me. And may we all go out of here encouraged, Father, and Lord, more inclined to worship you freely. And Lord, more inclined to, Lord, just put you first in all that we do. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And this Psalm 22, verse 22, he also says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. This word congregation here is a Hebrew word that means assembly or company. Congregation or convocation. And when we go into the scriptures and we begin to look at this word, there's several different Hebrew words that are used to make up this English word assembly that we're looking at, or congregation. And the word congregation is never used until the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel begin to come out of Egypt and they begin to have the Passover. That's the first time that the word congregation is used. God tells Moses to have the congregation to put the blood on the posts of the door for the Passover and to have the Paschal Lamb. And you know, it's strange that we get through the whole book of Genesis and don't hear that word. But if you think about it, when we go back into the book of Genesis, it was mainly just the family, Abraham's family and his descendants there, that were part of the worshipers. And no doubt they worshiped God. They had altars, and they would move about from place to place. He was wandering about seeking a city whose builder and maker was God. But it was mainly just the immediate family there that was with them, all the way down from Abel and his worship on down the family line there. But now, as they go into Egypt, and they've been there over 400 years, and God has multiplied them to now they come out 2 million strong, and God begins to call them a congregation. He begins to deal with Israel as a people and as a nation instead of dealing with them as individuals like us and the Gentiles. He deals with us in an individual basis, individual salvation, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But he was dealing with Israel as a nation, and so now they come out and he begins to talk to them and deal with them as a congregation. They begin to have a tabernacle in the wilderness that they would come and worship at, and we'll look at that maybe more in the next few weeks. But I want to look mainly this morning at some things that David says that he believed in doing in the congregation, and that when we come to church, I hope that you don't just get in a routine that, well, we just get in the car and go to church on Sunday or on Wednesday, and we sit there and we listen to the preacher, or we listen to the tape, and we listen to Brother Ben or Brother Furman lead us in some songs, and we listen to the musicians play, and we turn around and shake one another's hands and just go through a routine. But I hope it's more than a routine to you this morning, and I hope it's more than just a going through the motions just to come to church to say that, well, I checked it off my checklist this week and I guess I'm a pretty good Christian. But we come to worship God. We come to learn more about God, and we come to create an atmosphere where God can do things for other people. That's why we believe in church order, and that's why we believe in reverence in the sanctuary, is because God is trying to do something for people this morning. And maybe you're tired, maybe you don't feel like God's doing anything for you, but God's desire this morning is to do something for you personally. Not only that, but he wants to do something for that one sitting beside you in the pew and that one across the aisle from you. God God wants to do something for his people this morning. And the only thing that we can do, I can't as a believer, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a believer of the message, I can't do anything for you of eternal value just to give it to you and say, here's a blessing, or here's a revelation, or here's healing, or here's this. But what I can do, and not only me, but Brother Branham says each and every one of us, we do that, we create an atmosphere. And when we come into the congregation, when we come into the sanctuary, we create an atmosphere that we've brought with us. Now, you can create an atmosphere of, well, I was arguing with my wife on the way to church, and I'm bringing that atmosphere in. Or you can create an atmosphere of worship and praise that, well, maybe I'm tired in body, or maybe I'm sick in body, or maybe I've got problems at my job, or problems at my school, or problems in the family. Maybe I don't feel like it, but I'm going to worship him anyhow, and I'm going to create an atmosphere of praise, because God doesn't just deserve my worship when I feel like it, but he deserves my worship all the time. He deserves my worship and he deserves my praise. And so I want to bring that kind of an atmosphere into the sanctuary, not an atmosphere of doom and gloom and negativity and all, this one did this to me and this one said that to me, and dragging in all of our drama into the sanctuary. But I want to bring an atmosphere where I can praise and worship God, and where he can do something for me, and where he can do something for somebody else. So Brother Ben calls us amateur creators. And whether you realize it or not, you may not have realized when you walked into the church this morning that you're a little creator. But when you walk into church, you're creating an atmosphere. And either you're adding to the service or you're taking away from it. Either you're adding something, contributing something positive to the service this morning, or you're taking away from it. You're distracting somebody, or you're falling asleep and snoring, and whatever it would be. But you're adding something to the service this morning, positive or negative. So I don't know about you, when I come to church, I want to bring something positive to church. All we hear today around the message, there's so much politics back and forth. But, you know, when we look into the message and I begin to study the quotes and scriptures, I don't see anywhere where Brother Branham or the Bible exhorted us to come together and straighten everybody out and tell everybody else how wrong everybody else is, or to spend all of our time dealing with message politics. But it's to come together to worship the Lord and to give the word preeminence and to lift up Jesus Christ before the people. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. I'm not interested this morning in drawing all men unto Nathan Bryan or any other man, but the man Christ Jesus. Amen. I hope I can encourage you this morning to draw closer to him. If I do, then I've done my job this morning. Amen. If I can just encourage you, whatever is holding you back, whatever little besetting sin or little struggle or little habit or whatever it be that is keeping you from getting closer into his presence, I would encourage you this morning, lay it down at an altar somewhere. It doesn't have to be a physical altar. You can make your car an altar. You can make your pew an altar. You can make your living room an altar. But just lay those things aside and get into his presence more than you've ever been. I would encourage you to do it this morning. Message to the Laodicean Church, 1958. Brother Branham says, your children are assembled. He's praying in his prayer. He says to God, he says, your children are assembled together for no other purpose but to hear the word of God and to see the moving of the living God. Amen. So we don't just come together just to hear word, 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 although word is wonderful. But if the word doesn't produce the living God in our midst, then something is wrong somewhere. Now, there's nothing wrong with the word. We can recognize that. There's nothing wrong with the word. So if the word going forth doesn't produce the living God moving in our midst, then either there's a selfish motive somewhere, or the word isn't being taught in balance, is having man-made injections into it that's tearing away the actual word of God. But when the word is preached in sincerity and it's brought forth in its power and demonstration, Brother Branham said, he didn't tell us to go into all the world and teach the gospel. He says in the Philadelphian church, he didn't tell us to go into all the world and pass out tracts. Although he said passing out tracts is wonderful. I believe in passing out tracts. Amen. But you know what? The best tract that you can pass somebody out is a lived voice. A lived voice. Amen. Handing somebody a piece of paper is wonderful. But if you hand it to them and then you turn around and live an old hypocrite life, why do they want what you're handing them? Why do they want what you have? But when you can live a life before them, that is the best testimony that you can do, is to live a life before the people. Amen. So I believe in living a life before the not just here in this. Oh, it's easy for us to come and dress right and talk right and be right for 2 hours in the sanctuary. Amen. But then we walk out of these doors and the real battle hits. Amen. And the trials and the tribulations and the pressures of life. And I want to live a life where the world out there can see that there's still a living God that can change lives. Amen. Go Wake Jesus, 1963. We have come for no other purpose but to worship thee and to give glory and praise to you for what you have done for us. So if you come to church with other motives besides these, then you're doing something wrong somewhere. If you came to church to see what Sister Susie across the aisle is wearing and ask her where she bought it so you can go buy you one like it, you came with the wrong motives. If you came to straighten somebody out this morning, you came with the wrong motives. If you came with an agenda or some political-minded something, you came with the wrong motives. If you came so you could show off your new hat or your new car or whatever it is, you came with the wrong motives. But when we come together, we should come together to worship God and to give Him glory and praise for what He's done for us. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, Paul exhorts the Hebrews not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. I'm glad that we're doing things for the young people. I'm glad that we're having church services for the young and the old and the middle aged. I'm glad that we're having fellowships and things together. Why? Because Paul exhorted us to do this. You know, our young people are going to fellowship with somebody. Our young people are going to do something. They're going to have something to entertain them. So I'd rather keep them with believers. You know, I don't want to be a cult and just be like, well, we got to hide our kids from everybody and they can't go out and do anything. And you know, we can't go out and do anything and be seen at Walmart or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, your children would be better off playing with some Christian believers than they would with somebody down the street that you don't know what they're doing or watching or what kind of drugs they're addicted to or whatever. You'd be better off if you knew your children's acquaintances a little bit better. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. This word assembling, when he says forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, it's a gathering together in one place. And that's not online, by the way. That one place was not the World Wide Web. That everybody's got to get together and stream Brother Nathan or Brother so-and-so or whatever. A gathering together in one place, the religious assembly of Christians. So you can't stay at home. I don't care what state or country you're in. You can't sit at home and criticize everybody else and just stream your favorite preacher and say, I was in the sanctuary this morning. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. A church is an assembling together of Christians, an assembling together, a gathering together in one place of believers. Amen. We got any believers here this morning? Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I still believe in going to church. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what about people up in North Dakota or somewhere that don't have no church? Well, I would encourage them to move and find them a place that had a church. Amen. You know, when somebody leaves the church to move somewhere, that's the first thing I ask them. Is there a church, a good message church that you can go to? And if the Lord's leading them because of a job decision or because of family or whatever it is, then praise the Lord. You know, nobody is bound to me that they have to stay here. But if they're leaving just for money or whatever it is and there's no church to go to, I would encourage them, you better pray about that because I don't think God would lead you to move somewhere where there's no congregation for you to fellowship with. Amen. I don't believe God would do it just so you can have a little bit newer car or whatever. I don't think God would encourage you to do that. But if I was ever to move somewhere, I'd want to move somewhere where there was a good message church that I could fellowship with and sit and hear the word and fellowship with other believers. Why? Because, you know, when those little licks of fire get together, there's something about it that when it's just me, myself, and I, me and the Lord can still have a good time together. But when those licks of fire begin to come together and we begin to sing the songs of Zion, Brother Jimmy, I can sing the songs of Zion and my house. I can sing the songs of Zion in my car, but there's nothing like singing in His presence with about, you know, it doesn't matter the numbers, whether it's 10 or 50 or 500, whatever it be, but to get together with a group of believers that's assembled together for no other purpose. They didn't assemble together to go to Burger King. They didn't assemble together to run one another down. They didn't assemble together to straighten everybody else in the message in the world out, but when they assemble together to worship God, there's nothing else like that presence of being in the sanctuary worshiping God together. Amen. Amen. I love listening to tapes in my car and in my home and things like that, but you know what? There's something about it. When we turn on a tape here at church, I get more out of it because we're in an atmosphere where believers can come together. Now, I know that's not popular in some churches around the message, but that's just how I feel, okay? Amen. Amen. I don't have a commandment to tell everybody they got to do it the way Brother Nathan does it, but I'm going to keep doing it the way God leads me to do it here because we're a sovereign church. Psalm 22, verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee at home in my living room by myself, or hiding out in the basement from all the worldly cooties, or I will praise thee among much people. Oh, that scares some message people today. Oh, we couldn't fellowship with nobody. We might get deceived. Well, you're not having a scriptural formula. Somebody said, oh, well, Rahab, you know, when she was there in Jericho, she made her home a church. Absolutely. I can say amen to that. She did. She made her home a church when she was in Jericho, because you know what? There wasn't one message church in Jericho. But as soon as she came out of Jericho and came into the wandering in the wilderness with the children of Israel, you don't hear one time where Rahab ever said, hey, you all go down to the sanctuary, you all go down to the tabernacle of the wilderness, I'm staying back here in my tent and making my home a church. Well, I know that gets on some of your nerves, but it's the word, whether you like it or not. Amen, it's the word. Amen. Brother Branham, they ask him in Questions and Answers 1964. Brother Branham, are the tape services sufficient in our home? But, you know, they won't ever read the last part of it. We have no preacher in our area. He said, well, see how your children's doing. And he said, then if they don't seem like they're doing okay, then you need to get together with some people for fellowship. He said, find you a good church somewhere. He said, if there's a few things that you don't agree with, he said, if you can't take a whole loaf, then take a slice. Now, I know message people don't believe that today, but he said it whether they believe it or not. Amen. So you have to take all that he said, not just your favorite part of the quote that you cut out there. But I believe in going to church. If I wasn't the pastor of a church, I'd find a church somewhere that I could go to and I could get behind and worship the Lord and do my part and put my shoulder to the wheel. You know, I hope this morning you don't leave it all up here on the platform for me and Brother Ben and Brother Layton to do, but you've got a part in this to do as well. And I'm not just talking about the offering plate, although that is part of it, but if you think that coming to church, that all you got to do to be a part is just to put your money in the plate, oh my, you're missing out on a whole lot. We appreciate you being a blessing in the offering plate. We couldn't pay the light bills and do all these things for the youth that we do and have a van out here to take them to youth camps and take people on tours and stuff if somebody didn't put money in the plate. We couldn't do those things, but that's not what going to church is all about. Amen. That's a part of the worship, but that's not the worship. Amen. Brother Ram said, passing the plate is part of the worship. Now, I know there's a few of you that are digging your toes in your shoes now on that, but that's not my point. My point is the worship doesn't stop at the offering plate. The worship does not stop at the offering plate. You can't pay your way into Christianity, but it's a birth. It's an experience with Jesus Christ. God's provided approach to divine fellowship, 1916. If we come into complete relationship, been born again, he says, I don't care. The president of the United States could be standing on the street. You'd shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You don't care because you're come into a relationship. Amen. I can say that this morning. If President Trump or any of the governors or the mayors of our great nation were sitting here, if any other minister brother was sitting here, I'd preach the same thing this morning because it's what the Lord laid on my heart. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what we believe. I thank God for the truth, and I thank God for what we believe. He said you wouldn't be ashamed of it. You wouldn't care because you're come into a relationship. I wonder if the problem with a lot of our believers is they haven't ever really come into a relationship. Oh, they've heard the word and they've got intellectual conceptions and they can quote it to you and they can argue with you and they can debate and fuss and all this. But I wonder if they've ever really come into a relationship. You know, because there's something about a relationship. Now I'm just going to get on the young people's nerves for a little bit here. So just buckle up and hold on tight. There might be a little turbulence here for a little bit. But, you know, it's not anything new. It was around when I was a young man and when my brother was a young man. And now, you know, it's just kind of popped itself back up again. But, you know, nobody has boyfriends or girlfriends anymore. They just have friends. Just my friend. They're just my friend. Well, then you're not in a relationship. If you're ashamed to identify yourself with that person, it's not a relationship. Amen. When I met my wife, I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to be her friend. I had lots of friends. I didn't need any more friends, Sister Mary Beth. I had lots of good friends. Amen. Brother Trevor was a wonderful friend, but I didn't want that type of friendship with my wife. Amen. I wanted a relationship. Amen. There's a difference between a friendship and a relationship. Amen. Now, I know that a friendship is a relationship, but I'm talking about a marriage relationship. There's a difference. Amen. And your wife and you should be friends. I hope that you're friends with your wife, or mine, that'll be a problem. Amen. But as much as I love Brother Trevor, I love my wife more than I love Brother Trevor. Amen. You should have been shouting hallelujah on that one, Brother Trevor. He just turned 40, you know. Maybe his hearing is starting to slip on him a little bit. I promised I wouldn't give him a hard way to go at his birthday party. I didn't say anything about church on Sunday. The president of the United States could be standing on the street. You'd shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Can you imagine if you was to go and tour the White House like we did back around Thanksgiving, and we didn't have the chance to sit down with with President Trump and talk to him about politics or about the Lord or anything, but we got to tour part of his house there. And can you imagine if I'd been walking through and saw President Trump, and I would have been ashamed of my wife and our relationship, and I would have just kind of stepped off to the side and shook his hand real quick and ignored her and pretend like I didn't know her. Oh my, can you imagine when we got back in the car, Brother Jim, what that would have been like? Are you ashamed of me? Are you embarrassed to identify yourself with me in front of the President of the United States? But then we get to our jobs or we get to our schools and you know, we're a little bit ashamed of Jesus. You wouldn't be ashamed. Now, you might be ashamed of your parents, you know, in front of some of your school friends, but you'd never be ashamed of your best buddy or if you was to have the opportunity to be with your favorite celebrity and bring them to school or whatever it be. But when it comes to Jesus, there's something about it. If we're not careful, we begin to be a little bit of ashamed to act the same way that we would in church when we get out around other people. Oh, if you ever get a real relationship, you won't be ashamed of him wherever you're at. Amen. I'm not ashamed. I wasn't ashamed when, you know, I pursued and pursued and pursued. I was 4 years younger than her, and she thought that I was just her, you know, little kid brother's buddy and that she wasn't interested. But when she finally said yes to going out on a double date with me and Brother Stephen and Sister Jennifer, I wasn't ashamed of it, Brother Terry. I wasn't ashamed to tell people who I was going out with. In fact, I was pretty excited about it. I was pretty excited about it. When we got engaged, I wasn't ashamed to tell anybody. In fact, I was very excited about what God was doing for me. Amen. When we got married, I wasn't ashamed to tell anybody, this is my wife. And so when we get ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ or of his word or of his messenger, there's a problem somewhere. What's the problem? You never had a real relationship. He says, you're born again. You're a new child. You're in the Shekinah glory with God, fellowshipping with him. That's what the church... He said, what we need today, brother, is a worship under the blood, a worship in complete relationship to die out. Oh, my. Some of you young people, if that boy is too ashamed to call you his girlfriend, then he's not in a relationship with you. If that girl's too ashamed of you to call you... Now, I'm talking to the, you know, 18 and 40-year-olds here. We don't want to... start this stuff too young. I'll have parents giving me phone calls saying, Brother Nathan, back off of that stuff now. But when it comes time to get into a relationship, amen, you shouldn't be ashamed of the person you're in the relationship with. So how can you claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and then be ashamed of him out here on the street? Well, you know, yeah, we're just non-denominational. We go to a little church over here. But ashamed to tell somebody about Malachi 4 or Revelations 10:7 or what we believe or anything like that. I don't believe you got to force it down somebody's throat. But if you're ashamed of it, then you've probably never had a real relationship. God has a provided way, 1962. We don't care if princes, judges, whatever it is, sitting close when the Spirit falls, we're there to worship God because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it this morning. Nehemiah chapter 5 verse 13, and all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord. Oh, if we could have a church like Nehemiah had this morning. All the congregation said amen and praised the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1954. Now the church will try to carry everything just as orderly and as reverent as we know how. We believe in old time heartfelt salvation, believe in the people's liberty to say amen. Praise the Lord, whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do. And he won't lead you to do anything but what's right. That's right. Amen. I think that would stand quoting again. He won't lead you to do anything but what's right. I've had people tell me all kinds of things that they said the Lord led them to do. And I could stand there and I was too nice and too polite to do it. But I could have stood there and called him a liar because God will never lead you to do anything that's contrary to his word. Amen. They might have been being led to do it, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost that was doing the leading because he cannot lead you to do something that absolutely contradicts his word. He'll lead you always back to the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit was to do. He was to be our guide, to lead us and guide us into all truth. So he's not going to lead you in error. He's not going to lead you away from the truth, but he'll lead you to do anything. He won't lead you, he says, to do anything but what's right. And he's the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God, the very word God, means object of worship. So God likes to be worshiped by his children, that we can be free and not bound down in yokes, but we can exercise our faith in him and believe it and not be ashamed to tell the world about it, that Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, lives and reigns in our hearts, and we're not ashamed of it. Doesn't make our face red to testify of the glory of Jesus Christ, for he is worthy of all praise. Don't you believe that? That's right. Amen. I believe it this morning. He's worthy. Amen. We come to worship him. Oh my, if you didn't come to worship him this morning, then you probably showed up at the wrong church. Amen. Maybe you came and you're just a visitor. Maybe you came and you just somebody dragged you here and you didn't know what to expect or whatever it is. Well, if you just came to see what it was all about, or you just came to criticize, or you just came to just because you was persuaded to, I hope this morning that if you don't do anything else, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to pat me on the back and say that I did a good job. But if you don't do nothing else this morning, just worship the Lord a little bit. Amen. I'm not worthy of it, but he is worthy of it. Amen. Whether we're at our favorite church, or whether it's our favorite speaker, or our favorite musicians, or our favorite song leader, whatever it would be, well, many times we look at all that, and we look at the temperature of the thermostat, and we look at the comfort of the pews, and we look at the lighting, and we look at the song service, and we look at all this, and if we're not careful, we begin to nitpick everything in such a spot that all we got out of the service was everything that we didn't like about it. Well, you know, it's not just about coming to church. It's not just about everybody being pleased with what they like. Because if we tried to please everybody with the thermostat, we'd just break the thing in one service. Because there'd be one sister over here fanning and one sister over here freezing to death. And so we can't please everybody with the thermostat. So if you came to be pleased with that, you're going to be disappointed. We can't please everybody with every song service. There's going to be song services where somebody think, oh my, they sang too many hymns. I would like to heard some more worship songs. And then another service, there'll be some of you, oh my, all it was worship, 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 and old Pentecostal songs and things, and they didn't sing one hymn. And I like them old hymns. So we can't please everybody. But you know what? We'll have to do is do what God leads us to do. And if you can just come and get in an atmosphere and worship and say, Lord, this isn't my favorite song, but you know what, it's about you, so I'm going to worship you in it anyhow. And this isn't my favorite preacher, but I'm here at church on a Sunday morning, so I'm going to worship you anyhow. I tell you, you'll get more out of the service. Psalm chapter 40, verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I want to say this morning, that shouldn't just stop at the preachers, and that shouldn't just stop in the sanctuary, but I want to declare his faithfulness and his salvation wherever I go. We'll look at it when we get to the end of the service this morning, if we have time. David said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you've got breath this morning, you may not feel like it. You may not be happy. You may not be on the mountaintop, but if you got breath this morning, you ought to be praising the Lord. Amen. As long as I've got life and a breath and a voice, I want to praise him and declare his faithfulness and his salvation to everybody that I come in contact with. Now, I haven't done a perfect job at it. Neither have you. Neither has anybody else done a perfect job at it but the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, we want to do what we can. Amen. I want to do better than I did last week, Brother Jimmy. I want to do better than I did last year, Brother Layton. I don't want to just get stagnant and cold and formal, but I want to testify of what God has done for me. All night. You may not have a pulpit, and you may not be a preacher, and you may not have notes in your briefcase, but Brother Branham said, if you can't do no more, then just tell how the candle got lit, then tell that. The problem with a lot of message believers is they can't even tell that because their candle's never been lit. I hope your candle gets lit this morning if it's not. Amen. On fire for Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, he's not in a nice, cushy palace at this time. He doesn't have big purple pillows and nice big thrones and nice big beds and nice curtains that he can pull to block out the heat of the sun there in Jerusalem. But he's wandering in the wilderness of Judah as an outcast and as a fugitive. And he doesn't get up and preach a poor, pitiful me sermon. But he says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Oh, he's got me right there. That's the hard part for me, getting up early and seeking him. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now he's out here in the wilderness and he says, Lord, I know you're still God, but my soul is hungry and thirsty for you out here in the wilderness. I want to experience your power and your glory like I used to experience it in the sanctuary. I want to say this morning, don't let your worship stop at church. Don't let your praise stop at church. Don't let your testimonies stop at church at all. My, we saw him heal this one. We saw him. My, we've seen him do amazing things in this little building. We're not a very big church, but God has done some wonderful things. We've seen crooked spines come straight and x-rays to show it. We've seen cancers drop off of people's heads. We've seen hepatitis B healed of people. Not only healed, but now the doctor says that they're immune. And we've seen God do some wonderful things. But you know what? I don't want the testimonies to stop at the back door. I don't want the presence of God to stop when I leave these four walls. But I want to experience him in the power and glory of his majesty even when I leave the sanctuary. Amen. It's not just enough to come once a month or once a week or three times a week or whatever we can get you here. It's not just enough to do that. We believe in that. I believe in going to church, obviously, or I sure wouldn't be a pastor. But you know what? I believe in worshiping him outside of these walls. We believe in singing the songs of Zion. We believe in lifting our hands and praising him and worshiping him. But yet, Brother Benham said that, he said in the Hebrew series there, he said, now the hearing of the word, he said, that's wonderful, but that's not the main thing. He said, it's the worship. It's the worship that's the main thing. That's what he said. And he said, not just to worship here, but he said, when you go on your job and that person begins to take the name of the Lord in vain, you say, doesn't that, aren't you ashamed of yourself? That just hurts me so much to hear you take my Lord's name in vain. He said, that's a worship. That's right. And when you go out here and live a life before the people, that's a worship. Right. Well, sometimes we think that this is, that's worship and that's worship, and it is. Amen, it is a universal sign of surrender to raise our hands and surrender to God. We believe in all that, but worship does not stop when you leave the pew, but you go out here and your life should be a worship for God. Oh my, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He's out in the wilderness, hiding out in caves, and yet he says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You know how David knew whether it was time to praise the Lord or not? Wasn't whether he was in the kingdom, sitting there on a, in a throne in the palace, whether Saul was defeated or whether Absalom was defeated, and here he was back as king. That wasn't the only time that David would praise him. It wasn't just when he had defeated his Goliaths and when he had conquered his battles and his victories and slain his thousands. But David, you know how David could tell when it was time to worship God, Brother Jimmy? He'd just stop and go, yeah, it's still there. I've still got a pulse. My heart is still beating. So thus, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. As long as I'm living, as long as I got a pulse, I'm going to worship him in this body. And then once this body begins to decay and rot or gets hit by a bus or falls out of the sky in an airplane or whatever it would be, when this one dies, I've got another one that I'm going to, Brother Jimmy, that it'll never die. It'll never get tired. It'll never get so under the inspiration of God that, you know, sometimes we get in here and you begin to worship God and you come out and you're so drained and you think, goodness gracious, I feel like I've fought a battle in there. And a lot of times we are fighting spiritual battles, but yet we'll have bodies that can praise him day and night and stay in that presence of God day and night and never get tired and never get weary and never lose our voice. Amen. Thus I will bless thee while I live. How many we got that's alive this morning? Amen. Well, shake somebody beside of you and say, do you need CPR? If you're alive, we need to be praising him. Amen. Blessing his name. If he's blessed us, you know, you can look and see. Job said, surely I came into the world with nothing. I won't be able to take anything out. You won't be able to take your 401k with you. You won't be able to take your 5,000 square house with you. You won't be able to take your vehicles and all that with you. But you know what? As long, no matter where he's brought you from, if you've got shoes on your feet this morning, you're better off than when you came into the world. If you got a roof over your head, you're better off than when you came into the world. And so if he's blessed you, You know, it doesn't matter. You can look back and say, oh, but Brother Nathan, I used to have this, and now I don't. I used to have a better job, and I used to have this, and I used to have that. If he's blessed you with breath in your body, you're blessed this morning. Amen. We ought to be able to praise him. Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Mighty Conqueror, 1957. Feast on the word. Believe with all your heart. Enter into it. Get into the service. Get into the worship. And don't be ashamed. Amen. It's wonderful to feast on the word. We believe in feasting on the word. We believe it with all our heart. But he says, don't just stop there. Enter into the service. Get into the worship. And don't be ashamed. Oh my, as I said before, I think Wednesday night I was talking about it, how people say, oh, I'm just not very emotional. But you let somebody cut them off in traffic and see how unemotional they are. Amen. You let somebody drop a big 100-pound rack on their foot like I did yesterday and see how unemotional they are. I got a little emotional, Brother Jimmy. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I wonder how many times we leave church and we can say, Lord, I praised you with my whole heart this morning. We might be able to say, Lord, I praised you with my left hand or my right hand, or I praised you with both hands for a little bit. When they said, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, I praise. But how many can say we praise the Lord with our whole heart? Oh, God help us. God help us. He says in Psalm 134, verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about the Sunday morning crowd here. Some of you have never praised him quite like that, like David's talking about here. Oh, it's easy for us to come and praise him on Sunday morning, but he says in Psalm 134, verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for some that still come on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. He said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Brother Trevor, you can take that one back to Canada when you go next time. Take your text from Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Amen. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Take on the whole armor of God, 1962. Brother Ram said, if anything I honor the Pentecostal people for is to let loose and worship God. Yes. He didn't condemn them for it. He didn't make fun of them for it. He said, I honor the Pentecostal people for letting loose and worshiping God. I wish somebody just let loose and worship him this morning. Amen. Amen. Stop being worried about what your neighbor thinks and what the one in front of you and behind you thinks, or what your family's going to think or whatever. He deserves our worship this morning. Amen. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh my, there gets those hymn folks all stirred up, don't it? Unless it's 200 years old, we don't want to sing it in church. Well, what would you have done when David sat down, he wrote a new one and said, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They said, hey, we got the songs of Moses back there from hundreds of years ago. We don't want your songs, David. We don't want any of this new stuff. He said, hey, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to sing unto the Lord a new song. You know what? There was a time when the songs of Moses, when they came across the Red Sea and all their enemies was drowned in the Red Sea behind them, all the taskmasters, and Moses stood up, and here they was backed up against the Red Sea, backed up against walls on one side, walls on the other side, Red Sea behind them, army coming before them, and he stands up and he proclaims and says, after this day, ye shall see these taskmasters no more forever. No doubt there was some little smart aleck standing there and said, yeah, I bet so, Moses. We won't be seeing nobody no more forever after what you got us up for here. But he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And they said when they got across that Moses began to sing a new song. Amen. So I believe that God still anoints to have songs and new songs. And I like the new ones and the old ones and the mediums. And I like anything that's a worship to God, if it's really truly a worship and not some put on or just trying to show off or something like that, or just trying to rhyme a bunch of words together. If it's truly anointed, you know, Brother Bram talked about anointed ones at the end time. There's some songs that we sing that if you knew the writers and things, you might be ashamed to sing them, but yet it was anointed, it was inspired. He talked about different ones there, the man that wrote Way Down on the Swanee River and all those, and different ones. He said they were under the inspiration. The man that wrote There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, and then he said he went and tried to throw himself in the river when he came out from under that anointing and inspiration, because he had the anointing, but he didn't know the author of the anointing yet. Oh my, God help us. We sing, I Saw the Light. Hank Williams wrote it, drank himself to death, but I believe he was anointed when he wrote it. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name and dance. Oh my goodness. Praise his name in the dance. Somebody said, I don't believe in dancing. I don't believe in worldly dancing either. But you know what? The devil only copies what God has. The devil is not a creator. All this worldly music and all kinds of perversion and filthy lyrics out here, all that Satan has done is taken what God has. There's not Satan doesn't have an instrument that he can copyright. He doesn't have any type of music that he can copyright. Music came from God. Instruments of music came from God. Dancing came from God. All that Satan did was take and twist and pervert everything that God has done. Brother Bram said that unbelief is just belief perverted, twisted. He said that adultery is just the right act, twisted and perverted, and all these things. The devil just perverts the right thing. So don't get afraid when somebody begins to dance in the spirit. Let me tell you, you can tell if it's the spirit or not. Brother Trevor and I have been in some churches where you can tell it was a spirit, all right, but it wasn't the spirit that they were dancing in. Because the Holy Spirit won't make you present yourself in some filthy way. But the Holy Spirit will. I've seen the real Holy Spirit dance through people. I've seen Brother Yancey there in Georgia, not to pick on him, but I've seen him dance and step over wires, speaker wires and instruments and speakers and everything else, and dancing around and spinning, backing right up to the edge of the platform. And you think, oh my goodness, he might come off of there. But I thought, no, it's the Holy Spirit, he won't come off of there. Amen. So I believe in dancing in the Spirit. Oh my, somebody said, that scares me, Brother Nathan. Brother Bram said he sat there in the seat of the scornful. Said that woman preacher came in, began to play the piano over there. He said, I think if it had three decks, she could have played all three of them. And said a little girl from her church got out there and began to dance. And he said, he thought, oh my, this is it. They're going to kick me out. Here it is in a Baptist tabernacle, and they're going to kick me out. A woman dancing in my church. And he said, I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. And he said, I began to think, is there any scripture for that? And he said, I thought about when they got across the Red Sea and they began to dance and to play the timbrels. He said, I thought about David when he brought the Ark of God back to the back to Jerusalem. He began to dance around. He said, I began to pat my Methodist foot there. And he said, before you knew it, I was out there dancing with her. A lot of us couldn't handle, you know, a lot of people say they believe the message, but a lot of people couldn't have handled the prophet of God if he was really here. They wouldn't have known how to react to that. They wouldn't have known how to react to a man that jumped up on the pulpit and let his legs dangle over. He said he did. He said he went down there, down through the aisle, rolling up his pants legs. He said, I don't know what I was doing, but it sure felt good. A lot of people couldn't have handled a prophet of God like that. They couldn't have handled one that would come in and be so ashamed of the hole in his coat that they'd put his hand over his jacket and say, let me shake your hand with my left hand. Oh, my. Could we have accepted something so simple as that? God in simplicity again in this age? Oh, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek. I like that word, beautify. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Oh my. A lot of us, when we're on our beds, all we do is mumble and complain and grumble. Oh Lord, I feel so bad. I don't feel like getting out of bed. He said, sing aloud upon your bed. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. Unwelcome Christ, 1955. He says, we have other things too that we think more important. My brother, my sister, the most important thing in your life is to entertain Jesus Christ. He said, you believe that? Amen. I believe the most important thing in any life is to entertain Jesus Christ properly. But we come and we want to be entertained. We want somebody else to do all the work. We want somebody to get up and do all the worship for us so we can sit there and watch it like it's a concert. He said the most important thing in any life is to entertain Jesus Christ properly. But I wonder if we get so busy sometimes entertaining everybody else and everything else that we leave him sitting in the corner with dirty feet and the Bible dusty. He said in first place in your worship, first place in your life, first place in everything, Jesus Christ deserves that place. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Again, Unwelcome Christ, 1955. If someone come at your house and you didn't entertain them, they wouldn't come many times. Maybe that's what's the matter tonight. Can you imagine some of you folks, if you invited me over to your house and I came over to fellowship with you, I sit down and said, how you been doing? How's your work been going? How's the family? And all you did was just, hang on, I gotta talk to somebody else real quick. I gotta reply to this. And every time I start to say something, hang on, somebody more important I gotta follow up with. Let me do this real quick. And after about 3 hours, I said, well, hey, it's getting late. I gotta go. It's been nice fellowshipping with you, I guess. He said, if someone come at your house and you didn't entertain them, they wouldn't come many times. Maybe that's what's the matter tonight. Maybe that's what's the matter around our homes and around our church. We're afraid or ashamed to entertain Jesus. You're afraid somebody will hear you say amen. You're afraid to raise up your hands and give him praise. You're ashamed because your neighbor's sitting there, somebody else. What do I care about your neighbor? Worship the Lord. You ask him, you invited him, then worship him when he comes. He says, hallelujah. We get up here and we say, Lord, may you just have preeminence in the service. Come in, make yourself welcome. And then he comes in and people begin to worship and shout and things. And some people just sit there and look around. Well, goodness gracious, what's going on here? Worship him. He's worthy of it. Everybody don't worship the same way, but worship him somehow. Worship him your own way. Amen. If all you can worship him is just one little pinky or one little index finger, worship him with something. If you can't worship him with your whole heart, start somewhere. Worship him with your foot or worship him with your hands or worship him with something. Amen. Amen. Worship the Lord. Entertain him. You remember Brother Collins used to say, well, come back at the appointed time. Jesus is going home with you. Entertain him real well. Bring him back. Amen. Oh, my. How many times do we fail to entertain him? Amen. How many times are we so busy with everything else that we sit there and leave him in the corner instead of entertaining him, yeah, worshiping him, giving him our attention, giving him everything that we are? He says what we need tonight is an old-fashioned Jesus Christ entertaining place where men and women can forget themselves and entertain Jesus. Amen. You know, usually we don't think about a church as a place of entertainment, but he said what we need is an old-fashioned Jesus Christ entertaining place where men and women can forget themselves, themselves, and entertain Jesus. Oh, my, I hope we can entertain him this morning. Musicians, if you'd come. I'm trying to close, but I need your help on this last part. Psalm 150. Last psalm. David saved the best for last. I love this psalm. Might be a while before Brother Layton gets to it, so I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. I'm going to read the whole thing for you this morning. It's only 6 verses, though. Don't get scared. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery. That's an Old Testament guitar, by the way. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Oh, goodness gracious. What kind of church was this that David was going to? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, my. If you got breath in your body this morning, he's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your praise. Amen. He's worthy of all that you can give him. He's worthy of your thanks. He's worthy of your time. He's worthy of your efforts. He's worthy to be first in every aspect of your life. As we was talking Wednesday night, he's worthy to be Lord not only of your finances or not only of your home or your church or all that, or not only Lord of your salvation or Lord of your healing. He's worthy to be Lord of your schedule where we spend time for him and spend time with him and entertain him. Oh my, help us. Help us, Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. You say, well, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand. I've been in a real low valley for a while. I've been real discouraged, and Satan's attacking me with depression and anxiety and fear and worry. And every time I pick up a newspaper, I begin to worry about this and worry about that. And the last California's having earthquakes, and I'm worried about that. And this is going on over here, and I'm worried about that. And my family, I'm worried about them, and all this thing. Just stop worrying for a while and praise Him. Amen. Stop looking at the negative and the doom and gloom and staying down in the valley of the shadow so long that you can't see the light of day. Oh my, wherever Jesus is, there's light shining. Even in the valley of shadow of death, He can shine a little light down there in the valley. And let us give Him a little praise and worship. As long as I've got breath in my body, I want to worship Him. You know, Brother Jerry Pate, you know, put a lot of us to shame. There he was for years, sitting there shaking with Parkinson's. And we'd go in there, Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen and Brother Anthony and I, and he couldn't hold a book anymore, a message book, Brother Arnie. His hands shook too much. He couldn't turn a page. He would have ripped it to shreds. And so they'd find a little clipboard that they had for him, and he'd have a church age book or a message book laying there, and they'd have it clipped open for him where he could sit there and with his head shaking try to read it. And we'd come in, and when we'd get ready to leave, he'd say, oh, could you turn that page for me before you go? And have to have somebody else to turn the page for him and wait for the next person to come in. Maybe he'd read that two pages 40 times, Brother Arnie. I don't know how many times before somebody else would come in. But you know what? We'd always go there to encourage him, and we'd come out feeling encouraged to look and see a soldier of the faith that a lot of us would have gave up and said, oh, God, you've placed too much on me. I can't handle this. I'm going crazy. But he'd sit there, and we'd begin. I'd bring him my old guitar. I was just learning how to play, Brother Ben. I couldn't play half the songs the brothers wanted to sing, but I'd try to pick it out, and we'd sing and worship the Lord together, and he'd raise those shaking hands up in the air and praise the Lord, and he'd be singing with us, and maybe the guy over in the bed beside us, you know, half out of his mind or hollering out things or different things. There was one guy there that he was deaf, I think, and couldn't hear hardly what was going on anyhow, so I don't think he even was talking about us, but we was just going along one time singing our hearts out, and all of a sudden he hollers out, I don't like it. Sometimes I wonder when I preach, I'm a little worried, Brother Jimmy, somebody's going to say that instead of amen or hallelujah. I don't like it. That's okay. I'm going to preach it anyhow. I'm going to praise Him while I got breath. Amen. While I got breath, I'm going to talk about Him. I'm going to sing about Him. Whether I'm in a hospital bed or on a mountaintop, I want to praise Him with everything that's within me. Amen. Let's worship Him together. Oh, my. Let's just stand together. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Church, I don't know what you came to do. I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is how some people come to church. Oh, well, some may come to criticize. Oh, but I came to praise. Feel it or not, He deserves it. Oh, I feel. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. Then I'll praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel. Oh, that's how we ought to praise Him. Here's
Here's how I feel this morning. Well, if you don't praise the Lord, it won't hinder me. That's what David said to his wife. He said, honey, you can make fun. If you don't praise the Lord, it won't hinder me. He said, watch this while I dance around the ark. I'll praise him in the morning. Pentecost, they came, Brother Bram said there, they came staggering out like drunk men. Yes. Said they were stammering. He said, what's a stammer? Go back and listen. Didn't he say it? Ephesian church age. Stammering like drunk men came out of there. They said, these men are drunk on new wine. Or these men are drunk. He said, they're not drunk like you think, seeing it's the third hour of the day. But they was drunk on new wine. Yes. Amen. What did he say? We read the quote the other service. He said, we need another Pentecostal cocktail. So that's milk and honey and wine all mixed together. Oh, my God, give us another good dose of it this morning. I mean, I know people's ashamed of that today around the message. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Amen. I'm not ashamed, Brother Arnie. Amen. I'm not trying to take you back to the Pentecostal denomination, but I am trying to take you back to the Pentecostal experience. Brother Bram said, if that vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll act like it did back there. It'll teach like it did back there. It'll live like it did back there. Signs and wonders will be following it like it did back there. Amen. I want a good dose of that new wine again. Brother Bam said there's one filling, but there's many refillings. Problem with a lot of us, we get filled once. We think, well, praise God, I had an experience with him. Oh, I don't want to just have one experience with him. I want to have experience after experience after experience. He gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Amen. You love him this morning? Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Oh, don't care about what your neighbor thinks. Don't care about what the one sitting beside you thinks. But I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh, I praise Him in the sickness and in the victory too. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Oh, Lord, we want to praise You under every circumstance. We want to praise You, Lord. Oh, amen. Let's sing it again as we do. Those that are to be baptized, if you go make preparations. Oh, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Serve. Oh.
deserve the glory.
Superman for you. Father, may he be a perfect example of what a real young Christian is. And he grows up, Lord, if you tarry, you lead him and use him in accordance with thy perfect will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. My brother Theo, according to the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
see our brother baptized this morning. I mean, I remember when I was about his age, Lord was moving in my heart, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and it was genuine. I really look back, and that was where the Lord changed my life. I was young, but I knew I would hear messages, Brother Branham, different ministers, and I knew I needed the Holy Ghost. And I struggled. I didn't want to dance. I didn't want to shout. I didn't want to sing. I just, I don't know. I used to go for prayer with people, and I guess it was kind of hypocritical because I would say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't want this. Make me a good guy. You know, some people, the other young people, the girls won't laugh at me, and, you know, I that's the way I was. I was just being honest. And one day I realized that I didn't care what I had to do. I had to, Lord, I wanted it. And I sat down. I was actually by myself. I was reading a message book in my Bible, and I realized I had to accept him. And I said, Lord, I don't care how it is, I want it. And I never used to sing. I used to be embarrassed, and, you know, sometimes I still get nervous quite a lot, but I couldn't stop it. As soon as the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost, I go out cutting grass, I could not shut up. I had to sing. We had a big yard, probably a couple acres we would mow, and it was all, we were out in the country, but I thought the lawnmower was covering my voice, and it wasn't. And one of my sisters said, Dad, I said, tell Benjamin to be quiet. He's singing so loud, all the neighbors are hearing. And I didn't know. And he said, no, leave him alone. He said, I can tell us the Lord something's happened to him. And he told me one day, he said, you look different. He said, what happened to you? I was afraid, too. I didn't even confess it yet, because I thought, you know, if I start saying hello to ghosts and I start acting like a little bad kid or a little jerk, excuse me saying that, but, you know, it wouldn't be a good testimony. But it started changing my life, and, of course, I'm not perfect, but I started singing, and I didn't realize the neighbors were listening to me. They were telling Dad, he sings all the time. What happened to him? And shortly after, neighbor on this side, about half a mile away, goes to show how loud I was singing. He gave his heart to the Lord. He came up and said, I never thought about it until I was telling Crystal. I thought, and then the neighbor on the other side, he started going back to church again. I don't know, he's Baptist or something. And so, you know, I kind of wonder if the Lord had to give me the Holy Ghost so he could get saved, he could get back in church. So if we start praising the Lord, amen, I believe he'll do something for us. But I think we know this song a little bit. I love this song. If you can help me sing it, I believe most of us know it. If you don't know it, I'm sorry we don't have the words. I'm not as technical as Brother Furman. I'm just trying to help him out here. So, key of A. Oh, Father of life, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. And Lord, you have said that if we call upon your name, we and our families would be saved.
Will
Jesus Christ. Oh, so we cry out your name. Hell should I, God of grace. Oh, Lord, most high, Jesus.
Service 6:30 tonight, and let's remember to cry out his name and tell others about him. Amen. Just give our, let's testify and remember to praise him. Amen. As we dismiss, let's sing this chorus again. Amen. Oh, so we cry. By your mercy, we are saved.